You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Friday the 13th. Yeah. Congratulations on that deal. Welcome to All Marine Radio. Good morning to you. Mike McNamara in for a Friday edition. Hope you're doing all right out there. Just remember this, all right? This is not the end of the world. In spite of what you see on TV, this is not the end of the world, okay? Yeah, it's not. So, if the whole nation gets it, right? 99% of the nation survives. So, there you have it. If the whole nation is infected, 99% of Americans survive. So, but again, even in the midst of this, right, do you think that they can, like, sit down in D.C. and say, okay, what do we need to do? No, can't do that. And like I said, one of the most amusing parts of all of this is you see politicians on TV, and the first things out of their mouth is, this is not a partisan issue. And then the next thing that happens is they all, like, get partisan. And so, anyway, you would think they're impervious to being human beings, except when the camera's on and they are operating in their own self-interest. So it's just, I mean, just watch it. Watch them. Every one of them does it. Every single one of them. Right? Every single one. Just an aside there. And got a text from my daughter Colleen yesterday. Hey, Dad. Yeah, Colleen, what's going on? When are you going to Hawaii? Well, I'm going 3 times. If school gets canceled, can I go with you? I said, what? She says, if school gets canceled, can I go with you? And I said, sure. And she said, awesome. I said, you can go with me all 3 times if you want to. She's like, oh my God. I hope school never starts again. So how the coronavirus rumbles right through your own family. So we'll see if Colleen becomes a homeschool kid here in the not too distant future. And I assume that most school districts will do that. Not supposed to have large, congregations of people. And so schools continue to be that. The other way, my nephew Joe's what, 22, going to be 22. And, he's a baseball player, plays Division I baseball, and he's worked his whole life, for the opportunity to, you know, maybe, you know, play professionally. And in the stroke of somebody's pen, you know, all spring sports were eliminated, not postponed for 30 days, but all spring collegiate sports eliminated. And so he sent a text yesterday. This really sucks, but I guess I'm done, you know, playing baseball. So I hope not. He's a good baseball player, but you see this thing kind of rippling around in all the different way that it impacts life. But you know, the reminder I have is in my head when, you know, when I hear the Chicken Little stuff that goes on in the media all day, and that is, it can always get worse, right? And all you can do is need a little historical perspective and go online and just, Jeff and Tim and I were talking yesterday, and just look at world pandemics, and this thing won't be anything close to that. I honestly do believe that the way we're connected in the world today is not always a good thing. I think the hysteria that is promoted in the name of media capitalism is pretty pathetic to watch. But the 24-hour news cycle needs to be fed. All those websites need to be fed. So somebody got to feed it. And then everybody got a cell phone. Everybody got a laptop. And so you can't get away from it. So I would just tell you, I mean, I'm kind of self-contained, just so you know. I'm self-contained. I work out of my house. I built a little gym in my backyard months ago. And, you know, I go out when Colleen takes me, my adventures with Colleen take me out. And other than that, I work a lot and I travel. And so I'm all right. My life's not so much impacted. So anyhow, I went out and bought a tablet yesterday. Here's a problem I have. When I fly, it will be after speaking, right? And it's kind of quiet time. So I get done, you know, speaking, I hang out, I meet a whole bunch of people, right? I deal with them. And then normally the next day, I'll go home and I'll crash. The next day I will, you know, fly home. And then, you know, I have all this stuff in my head, but it's hard to work because, right, the seats, since I don't fly first class, you can't, it's not like I can get my laptop out and write and stuff like that. So, but I do have a little keyboard. Logitech makes a Bluetooth keyboard, and at the very top of the keyboard, it has a little trough in it. Yeah. And you can drop your cell phone in there. Now, what I wanted, though, and I've done that, but the cell phone, a little bit too small. Yeah. God bless the cell phone and everything, but especially as you get older and you struggle with your eyesight a little bit. And mine's still pretty good. But so I was looking for a tablet. I wanted the tablet to be able to have a pen, right? So I could I could write and I could diagram because I like to do that after I speak. So anyway, I went out to do that. And you know what's hard to stop doing? Shaking hands. So a couple of different guys helped me as I mulled over my decision, blah, 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 blah. And both times when I, you know, after I, you know, talked to the guy the first time and then after I purchased it, both times, my instinct was to, when I said thank you, I said, hey, I just want to thank you. My hand, like, immediately, it's like audio actuated. It hears, I just want to thank you. My right hand sticks out. And then I stopped on both times. I stopped and I said, sorry about that. And he just laughed. He goes, nah. He goes, hey. He goes, we're all going through it. And I said, is business down? He said, nah, you know, it's weekday business. And this was at a, you know, this is a Best Buy. So he said, weekday business is normally slower. He said, but I haven't noticed it being significantly slower than normal. So I would tell you that, no, it's not that for us. I mean, I would tell you no, but it's hard. It is hard. And so anyway, I just that was my first experience probably in venturing out in the last week. It's just a natural instinct to shake hands. So I thought that was interesting. Some headlines from around the world relative. First of all, in a story that's not getting much fanfare, but I think it's pretty important. And I want to say I'm a bit displeased with the American response. Yeah, I'm not happy. And we're playing whack-a-mole. This is the game the Iranians want to play. And I would have rather done nothing and had a press event at the Pentagon and says, this is Iran's final warning. If they continue to attack us via proxies, then we will respond to them. And we will not respond to their proxies. But what did we do? We played the proxy game. And I just can't tell you how disappointed I am in that. The headline, Pentagon, U.S. strikes Iran-backed group that hit Iraq base. I thought that, you know, and you can see the impact, right? Iran's activity across the board after the Soleimani hit, because that's what they understand. So anyway, we're going to talk about that because there's some comments that were made that, you know, again, leave me head shaking. So that is in the news this morning. So on a Friday the 13th, not sure if you believe in that, but if you do, might be a good day to stay home. All right, might be. But the United States Marine Corps Band doesn't make this morning official. Whitney Houston does. So sit back and relax and enjoy Whitney Houston. Know that the nation will get through this. Do all the things they tell you to do. Wash your hands. I'll tell you something humorous that I saw yesterday was all the people that are at press conferences that tell everybody to wash their hands and don't touch your face. One woman, like in the midst of saying that, went to turn the pages and she licks her fingers. And you're like, this is awesome. And then, you know, you have other people. What's her name? AOC. She's being interviewed, and she's like, and do not touch your face. And now, and then she must have touched her face a half a dozen times during the course of the interview. So much easier said than done. Much easier said than done as everybody tries to adjust to this very unnatural thing. But again, like everything else, 99% of the country is going to get through this. Certainly, if you're at risk or if you have family members that are at risk, make sure you do the right thing. Make sure you do the right thing and be proactive about it. Don't wait till something bad happens. And I think most people got the memo because honestly, when you see things that have never happened in your lifetime, I think that breaks squelch and tends to get your attention. So hopefully so. Anyway, good Friday morning to you. It is the Friday the 13th. Whitney Houston makes this Friday official. This dedicated to, all the healthcare providers out there that are starting to, that are being overwhelmed, a lot of them. The country wasn't obviously geared for this. And if you heard Dr. Fauci talking about that yesterday, he said, look, the system's failing. So anyway, more bad news before we get the good news. So let's dedicate all those people out there that are working long, long hours, who are putting their health at risk. And God bless you for what you do for everybody else. And hang in there. It will certainly get better. And thank you. We all of us who when we come looking for you, we don't know what's going on, and we need your help. Thank you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather. We still got to pay attention to the weather, man. In spite of the world falling around us, currently it's partly sunny and 67 in Northern Virginia in the Quantico area. Down the coast at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, it is partly sunny and 74, so a pretty day. In North Carolina, 29 Palms has gotten a little bit colder. Sunny and 48 right now. Pendleton, where it's been raining overnight, is clouds, rain, and 54 degrees right now. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy and 65. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 64. Afghanistan, dark cloudy, 61. Afghanistan warming up, as is Iraq. Late in the day, now that we're in daylight savings time, it is cloudy and 70 in the place I'm not very happy with, and that is Iraq. Currently, it is 57 degrees, rain showers here in Costa Mesa, California. Looking for a high of 62 today with rain all day. On Saturday, 64 with a 40% chance of rain. Now, you know, in much of the country, when they say it's 40% chance of rain, right, that means it's going to rain. In California, when they say 40%, you know what that means? Not going to rain. Not even a 50% chance. And then on Sunday, it's going to be 65. Some shithole weather updates. From Beverly in Saskatchewan. Good morning, Mac. QU, when in studio, question. When you're in the studio, do you still want shithole weather? If so, only a certain weekday, continuing as in the past. Yeah, let me make a comment about shithole weather. Now that I'm book writing, if I record an interview like I did yesterday with Jeff and Tim, when I wake up at 6, I'll normally record the first hour. So my advice to you would be, and since everybody who does shithole weather is further east than I am, do it relatively early, right? And get it to me no later than 6:30, now that I'm book writing. So what I do, the way it helps me is, for instance, do an interview in the afternoon, and then so it'll play tomorrow morning. I get up, shower, get something to drink, come in here, give Jack and Joe a treat. That's what I do. That's what they expect. They get up. They're staring at me. I put them at the position of attention for dogs. That's right. Joe goes to a safe spot. Jack just stands there and looks at me. And so I give them, their treats. And then I come in here and I do the first hour. And when I'm able to do that, then I put the stuff on the website. That means, normally by about 8 o'clock, 8:30, I'm free now to write, and so that's helped me. So that's the why behind that. So, and when I'm on the East Coast, if you can get them to me before I go on the air, but no, I record a fair amount of that. But here's what I do with that. I'll record the first 25 minutes up until the part I do the weather, right? And it'll be the end of the Marine Corps hymn and all those quotes right before I begin to play this. And then I'll stop the recording and I'll park it and then I'll do the news and then I'll come back to that. So as long as you get it to me early, I can do it. But if I'm recording, yeah, it's not that I'm not doing it. It's that the broadcast is recorded. And for that, I apologize for not keeping you abreast. Anyway, in South Central Canada, known as Saskatchewan, it could be Manitoba, but it's not Alberta or Ontario, which are both further west and east. A return to below normal temperatures after enjoying 47 degrees on Wednesday. All right. For today, cold, clear skies, northwest wind at 12. Current temperature is 3 above, feels like 15 below. The afternoon high is going to be 9 above and will feel like 4 below. In that cold blue sky, I managed to capture the moon this morning. So Bev sent a picture and you could see the moon in it. There it is, sitting out there. Yeah, that looks cold. Although some of the snow has burned off the driveway, which is always a good thing. From Nancy, thank God it's Friday. Today in Pleasantville, it's partly sunny and 45. On the way to 50, winds out of the west at 16 to 26. Have a great weekend, Nancy. Looks like a kind of a blustery day. Got a mix of gray and white clouds in Pleasantville. The for East Grand Forks, Minnesota, which is southeast of Bev in Saskatchewan, it's my brother's birthday today. None of us cared about superstition, so I'm certain it will be a good day. I've been out of pocket the last couple of weeks because my mother has been in and out of the hospital. And I've been taking care of her. Thank God my mother. This is not about the weather, Ruthann. On the upside, I have plenty of toilet paper. Have a great day. Friday the 13th. She doesn't believe in it. Good morning, Mac. Today's weather in beautiful Vacaville, California. Currently 48. Clear, cool winds at 9 to 15 out of the northeast. A high of 60 is expected. Hey, Cox, where are you R&Ring this week? And a picture of, it looks like the post office in Vacaville. And it's an old one. It's either the post office or the other thing it looks like is Andrew Carnegie built libraries around the country. You know what? I'm a smart guy. Vacaville, California, Carnegie Libraries. Wow. He sent me a picture, and I just smoked that thing. You can tell it's a Carnegie Library because they come from the same mold. And I had seen pictures of the one that we had in North Dakota. It was downtown, and they tore it down. They tore it down and put up a parking structure. And if you look at them, they're beautiful, classic architecture, right? They're normally on either on a city block or on like half a city block. They have black wrought iron gates around it, green grass, and then the white library. And, the front of the library is the library is white, and the front of the library's got like a cornice that you would see a Roman or Greek cornice, right? There's a difference in how they do the pillars. I know that because I had to take fucking art history for a year. Anyway, that's beside the point. So it's got that triangular cornice and then Roman or Greek pillars. I would think they would be Roman. I'm just saying. So, but anyway, they're classic, beautiful. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick story about this. The reason I know that is because when I lived in North Dakota, they built a domed arena, football stadium. And it's called the Alaris Center, named after a bank. So anyway, and one of the things that when it was built, they put pictures up of the region. So farming and agriculture, right? To the way the cities have developed around there and the way the houses looked. And in one of the pictures, there's a Northwest Airlines, and it's a passenger version of the C-47. So it's that shiny metal on the outside, and it says NWA on the outside, and it's banking over the city, and a picture taken from the air down of the airplane banking, and then you can see the city in the background, and what you see is the Carnegie Library. And that's the first time I'd ever saw it. I had heard it referenced like, yeah, well, they tore down the Carnegie Library. And then I saw the picture of it, and I saw one of the guys. His name's Hal Gershman. Hal Gershman is the guy who the chef, who will join me here in about 30 minutes, is working with to start that restaurant, right? Hal grew up in Grand Forks, father owned a liquor shop and was very active in the community. I'm gesticulating with my hands out of the corner of my eye. I just saw like my cup of tea come perilously close to getting launched, so I just moved it. I put it on my United States Space Force coaster. Yeah, not everybody has one of those. Yeah, they didn't give me a t-shirt, so I got a coaster. Anyhow, that's beside the point. So Hal was on the city council with me, and I knew Hal from interviewing him for years, and he continued his father's business. He expanded it. You know, he's the president of the city council. And so I'm out at the Alaris Center, and these pictures are, I don't want to say they're murals, but they're those, you know, this picture might be, you know, 15 feet wide by 10 feet tall, right? I mean, it's a huge picture. And it's beautiful. And you look down, you see the Carnegie Library. So I see Hal, and I said, I was just out at the Alaris Center. And he goes, oh, God, you know, isn't it wonderful? Because it had just opened and whatnot. And I said, yeah. I said, but I want to ask you a question. How could you tear down the Carnegie Library? And he looked at me like I just stabbed him in the heart. And he says, it's still honestly extremely painful for me. He said, Mike, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful piece of architecture. It was a historic piece of architecture. And we tore it down to put up a parking structure. He said, it makes me want to cry when I think about it. He said, so thank you very much for bringing it up. So Big D in Vacaville. Yeah, that's the rest of the story about how I just crushed that one. Yeah, with my knowledge of trivial things about life. So, yeah, it's the probably, I don't know if it's still the Vacaville Library, but that's what he sent the picture of. So maybe too much information about that. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will we'll check news headlines. We're going to start with our response in Iraq, which I want to tell you is exactly what the Iranians wanted. Playing whack-a-mole in Iraq, right? Now things are right. They can do it again. I mean, they can do it again. So so we'll talk about that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Continue. Bloomberg is reporting right now that the President of the United States will declare a national emergency. Yeah. President Donald Trump plans to declare a national emergency on Friday over the coronavirus outbreak, invoking the Stafford Act to open the door to more federal aid for states and municipalities, according to two people familiar with the matter. Trump is under increasing pressure to act as governors and mayors nationwide step up to act to mitigate the spread, closing schools and canceling public events. The president said he will hold a news conference at 3 p.m. in Washington The move would allow the government to material additional resources to combat the virus and also marks a symbolic turning point for the president, who has repeatedly compared the coronavirus to the seasonal flu and insisted that his administration had the outbreak under control. The stock market's been up all morning. If the president invokes the Stafford Act, it would free up more than $42 billion in funding for states available in the disaster relief fund. An emergency declaration would allow a state to request 75% federal cost share for expenses that include emergency workers, medical tests, medical supplies, vaccinations, security for medical facilities, and more, according to a letter Democrats sent to the president earlier this week. Only a few emergency declarations for public health threats have been made since 1960. And only two have targeted disease outbreaks. Bill Clinton in 2000 declared emergencies in New York City, in New York and New Jersey in response to the West Nile virus. So there you have it. More news. Relative to the coronavirus. If you didn't hear, the president of Brazil has it and was just at Mar-a-Lago. Picture of him sitting next to the president shaking hands. Here's another story, and this is why you should look at the news, right? This is from who? The Thomson Reuters Foundation. China government spokesman says U.S. military may have brought the virus to China. How do you know they're lying? Because their lips are moving. In a strongly worded tweet written in English on his verified Twitter account, Chinese foreign ministry spokesman Zhao Lijian said it was the United States that lacked transparency, not the Chinese. Quote, when did patient zero begin in the United States? How many people are infected? Question mark. What are the names of the hospitals? Question mark. It might be the U.S. Army who brought the epidemic to Wuhan. Be transparent! Exclamation mark. Make public your data! Exclamation mark. U.S. owe us an explanation. Right? I mean, come on, man. That's as dumb as... Oh, my God. It's the stupidest shit in the world. Yeah. And so, anyway, the Chinese, man, how do you know they're lying? Because their lips are moving. The world upside down. Let's see. So this is the Chinese foreign ministry pushing their own, what they're getting sensitive to is more and more people around the world are saying that this virus was the work of the Chinese, Category 4, bio warfare lab in Wuhan. Oh, it just coincidentally happened to start in Wuhan, and oh, that just happens to be there. So anyway, the Chinese pushing back with their own disinformation campaign. So we'll see. The president going to speak at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m., the Stafford Act. Essentially, just so you know, if you don't know how things around the world, the country are financed, normally major thoroughfares, right, that go through, state highways and stuff like that, there is a local percentage that municipalities, counties, and cities pay. And normally with roads, it's like the federal percent is like 80, the state percent is like 30, the county and the city kick in the other 20. So that's how things get done. What the Stafford Act does is says that the federal government will fund 75% of all these things that states and cities and counties are doing as they attempt to do something that would normally, you know, crush them financially. And especially, you know, just so you know, not every community around the country keeps their books in good order. Not everybody's got a rainy day fund. And even with that 75%, you know, federal portion, the 25% is going to crush a lot of communities. So anyway, keep your eye on that. And then, like I said, then that has a real impact on things like pension plans, right? So as this thing kind of ripples through the world, I want to talk about DOD things, right? Because honestly, yesterday we recorded that Wednesday night, so it was after General McKenzie said that the ISIS did not have that capability. All right. Here's an Associated Press story. The Pentagon said yesterday the U.S. launched retaliatory strikes targeting an Iranian-backed Shia militia group believed responsible for the rocket attack that killed two Americans and a British troop in a base north of Baghdad. The Pentagon said it struck five Khatib Hezbollah weapons facilities inside Iraq to significantly degrade their ability to conduct future attacks against Operation Inherent Resolve coalition forces. So they kill our people, and we struck weapons facilities. And they're Hezbollah, you know, they're Khatib Hezbollah. So we're playing whack-a-mole with the Iranians again against their proxies, which is the game they love to fucking play. And I don't understand why we're doing that. I would have preferred for the Secretary of Defense to stand up and say, all right, this is the last time we're going to warn. We're going to bury two Americans and one Brit here in the next week. And I'm telling you, right, what's General Mattis's quote? With tears in my eyes, begging you, right, that if you fuck with me, I will annihilate you. Please do not do that. And I would have given some version of that. I would have taken the profanity out of it because I'd have been the sec def. Or maybe I would have left it in, which would have got me more coverage. Yeah, I'm talking to the fucking Republican Guard right now. So you motherfuckers need to listen to this. And every politician in Iran. If anything like this comes close to happening again, we're going to start with your Navy. And we're going to play more than tit for your tat. Got it? But what did we do? We played whack-a-mole. We went back to what we were doing before. Which means what? The Iranians are sitting there saying the Americans are afraid to escalate this thing. What happened when we escalated it before? You haven't heard shit from them. This is the first thing they've done other than shooting their scuds into the dirt. Which we all know that, look, the way GPS is now, if they wanted it, let me tell you, what would have happened if one of those scuds would have hit near a large group of Americans and killed? What would happen? We would have laid the wood to their nation. They shot him into the dirt on purpose. And this is the first incident since then, right? And all these months later, this is the first incident. And now we go back to playing whack-a-mole. Not happy with it. Not happy with it. The storage facilities targeted in the strike stored weapons used to target U.S. and coalition's troops. Yeah, like they're ever going to fucking run out of ammunition in Iraq. You got to be shitting me. The Defense Department said Thursday's defensive strikes were proportional and a direct response to the threat of Iran-backed groups operating in Iraq. And then more, right? More bloviating. The United States will not tolerate attacks against our people, our interests, or our allies. As we have demonstrated in recent months, we will take any action. Then why didn't you, Marky Mark? Why didn't you? This weak-kneed bullshit? The strikes were partnered operations with the British because they had a Lance Corporal medic killed. The Secretary of Defense said the President authorized the actions. Quote, we're going to take this one step at a time, but we're not to hold the perpetrators accountable. You don't get to shoot at our bases and kill and wound Americans and get away with it. Oh, but we've got to hold the perpetrators. Well, who are the perpetrators, man? Right? Who's the fucking perpetrators? The shitheads that carried it out? They're not the perpetrators. They're the schmoes who are going to get whacked for doing it. The perpetrators are the Iranians. On Capitol Hill earlier in the day, Marine General Frank McKenzie, the U.S. commander for the Middle East, CENTCOM as it's known, told senators the deaths of U.S. and coalition troops create a red line for the U.S., but said he didn't think Iran has a good understanding of what our red line is. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Riddle me this, Batman. Why do you think they don't know where the red line is? Because we don't have one. We're gonna play their games. They just like happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. We're playing proxies again. The Americans are playing the game. It's all back in the box now. That Soleimani craziness that scared the living shit out of us, that stuff's over. Back to ops normal. Let's lay the wood. Let's kill more Americans. We'll get Iraqi, you know, Shiite Iraqi people killed. Who gives a fuck about them, right? We'll get, you know, Shiite, you know, Syrians killed. Who gives a fuck about them? Right? Again, Esper, we're focused on the group that we believe perpetrated this in Iraq. Who orchestrated it? Who sponsors it? Who will they not execute it if they don't get a green light from? It's just bullshit. It's just bullshit. McKenzie told the Senate Armed Service Committee on Thursday morning that the killing of Soleimani and the increase in U.S. troops and assets in the region has made clear to Iran, oh, evidently not, General. They just fucking launched an operation that killed three people under your command. Somebody didn't get the fucking memo. But did we send it again? No. Right? We just put a yellow post-it fucking thing on the wall. He said the U.S. has reestablished a level of deterrence for a state-to-state attack by Iran. Really? So now we're just going to do what they always do, which is, and Iran never conducts state-on-state attacks, except against the Saudis, and then they denied that shit too. What do? They do it by proxy. So what's your remedy to that? However, he said, what has not changed is their continuing desire to operate through their proxies indirectly against us. That is a far more different area to deter. No, it's not. You got to go after them. Bullshit, man. Bullshit. Now I'm pissed. The more I read of their bullshit, top five stories in Early Bird before I lose my mind. One, Pentagon, U.S. strikes Iran-backed group that hit Iraq base. Two, general takes blame for no injuries declaration after the January 8th strike. General McKenzie, I was never under any pressure at any time to shade this reporting. CENTCOM's General Frank McKenzie told Congress. More than 100 troops were later diagnosed with some version of traumatic brain injury, more than 80 of which, I believe that was the last number I saw, were returned to duty without any further evacuation. Okay? I'm not going to go into that again. So the big kerfuffle afterwards was somebody's lying about it. Give me a fucking break. Number three, American commandos to hold down the fort in Afghanistan as U.S. troops withdraw. Well, we all know how well that works, right? That's Don Rumsfeld's plan. We're going to have little groups of special operators zooming around, and they're going to conquer Iraq. War has changed, in case you all don't fucking understand it, because it's way too complicated. And so let me explain it to you fucking rubes, okay? We're going to have little groups, right, of highly trained guys, and they're going to go zooming around. and they're going to whack people. And that's how we're going to solve the problem. This whole thing is bullshit. Right? This whole big forces and armor and stuff like that. So yesterday. Now it works so good, we're going to fucking keep doing it. So, memo to the people of Afghanistan, if you're fucking listening, right? Leave. Get a visa. Go fucking anywhere. Your nation is about to get blown the fuck up. It's going to be, all you have to do is read the aftermath of what we call Vietnamization, right? Right underneath that, peace with honor. That means we're unassing this motherfucker. And the rest of it is on you. So good luck with both your presidents now. But and I know Afghan people listen to this, get the fuck out of that place, man. Now I'm pissed. Troops, families trapped in limbo as some PCS moves put on hold for 2 months. Overseas operations. This is from yesterday. All options on the table. Right. Next headline. Iranian proxy likely launched the strike. Mm-hmm. CENTCOM adding travel restrictions amid COVID-19 outbreak in Iran. And Iraq will investigate attack on the base that killed American troops. Well, that's reassuring, right? If the Iraqis are on it, then we can all stand down. Because they'll get to the fucking bottom of it. And what are they going to find? Whatever makes the most money. Whatever makes somebody happy. You know, it's interesting. When you talk to people who investigate in Iraq, they say, well, you know, they want to do what they want to please you. Right? They want to please you. They want to tell you what you want to hear. That's why they change their story all the time. Or else they want to tell you what you need to hear to pay them money. Those are the two things. That's how it works. What the hell, man? What the hell? So, there you have it. Jeez. Why is there confusion about a red line? Because we play this game since Beirut, for fuck's sakes, man. And I thought the Soleimani thing was like a watershed event. Is it the signal of a policy change where when we see that whack-a-mole shit, we look at Iran and we say, hey, look, don't take this personally, but we're going to blow up about 4 of your Republican Guards bases. Okay? So, stand by, put your fucking earplugs in, and don't worry about the coronavirus vaccine anymore in those areas because you ain't going to need it. Right? And now we go back to being, right? We go back to being, right, their bitch. Playing their fucking stupid game because what? We're afraid of a confrontation with Iran? Are you shitting me? Iran is on its ass now. And to kick the Republican Guard in the face for doing this shit? To sink a bunch of their boats for doing this shit? Why not? All right. I'm going to go do my breathing exercises, right? That probably are not going to dissipate because let me just tell you, I'm fucking pissed. Do you wonder why the United States, you know, again, and what happens? Somebody else is going to get killed because the memo that just got sent was not a strong memo. We've sent that, you know how many times we've sent that bullshit memo? We've sent it a million times. And the Iranians are like, boom, awesome. Same weak need bullshit response. Right? It was like Barack Obama in the South China Sea. China's taken over islands that don't belong to them. Strongly worded statement from the State Department. Aww. Right. Bullshit, man. It's bullshit. All right. On that positive note, we're going to take a break. More of this fine program coming up next. The chef's going to show up and we're going to do happy radio. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your fucking home for it. The All Fucking Warrior Radio Network. Yeah!
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.